Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God has been good once again.
Amen.
And all the time, God is good. You know, it's a sad commentary when you have to stand before the church and you have to offer up prayer on behalf of people who have lost their loved ones in mass, under mass conditions. But this morning, we want to include in our prayer a prayer for those people who are suffering out in Colorado, because it could have just as well happened in Chicago, and it could just as well have happened on your block. So none of us are very far from danger and the trials and tribulations of this life. So let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, it is once again that you have blessed us, O Lord. You have blessed us to see a new day. Father, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. As a matter of fact, Lord, we don't know what the next second may bring, but we are putting our trust and hope in you, O Lord. And we thank you for blessing us to this point in our lives, and we ask you that you might continue to bless us if it be thy will. This morning, O Heavenly Father, we come because our hearts are saddened and heavy because of the tragedy that took place a few days ago. We wonder sometime, O Lord, how do people get in the condition that they want to do things like this? But we know that is just evil thinking and evil minds conjuring up things to do. And Father, we just want to say thank you because we are here, still here, and still trying to serve you, O Lord. And we pray that our services will be acceptable in thy sight. We pray this morning for each and every member in the congregation as well as for their families. We pray in particular, O Heavenly Father, also for the leaders of this congregation. We pray and ask you to be with them and their families, as well as we pray for those who are sick and shut in, those who are unable to be with us today, those who might be traveling, those who are just not able to be here this morning. We pray that at the next appointed time that they might be with us too. We thank you because you sent your Son down to this earth to walk around, then to hang up on the cross, bleed and die on our behalf. We thank you, O Lord, and pray for strength to continue on to do your will, O Lord. We pray for patience that we may be able to deal with people. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for wisdom that we may know and have the knowledge to continue to do what your will is. Thanking you right now, O Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, who went up on the cross on our behalf. Let us all say amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, starting at verse number 1, and I want you to note in particular verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, in the history of the early Christians of the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, we find that they lived under fear of persecution, even as far as death. Yet there was a will and a spirit in them that kept them preaching and teaching the word of God, as noted in verse number 4. Today, here in this country, we do not live under those same threats as the early Christians did. Yet many of us won't try to help others to come to Christ. So today I pose the question, what will it take for you to help a lost soul? What would it take for you to help a lost soul? And this morning, we want to speak about bringing souls to Christ. And I kind of retailed this after the incidents of this past week. So bear with me. Some of this you may have heard before, and some of it you may not, but that's what the Bible is all about, hearing the word of God. And sometimes we have to hear it over again. And so we do that from time to time. But anyway, when have you last tried to bring someone to Jesus? Our Lord and Savior has provided for us all of the tools we need to bring souls to him. Take the example of a man with a hammer. He has the right tool to build things, but he lacks knowledge, and he needs knowledge to show him how to use it. Jesus gave us the tools, and the Bible gives us the direction to use these tools to bring souls to Christ. When you notice that fourth verse of chapter 8 of the book of Acts, the Bible says, therefore they were just that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of God. They were preaching the word of God. Christians should never try to conceal themselves from the word or the teachings of Jesus Christ. These people went everywhere preaching the word of God, trying to bring souls to Christ. So we too must do that same thing if we are to bring souls to Christ. So the first tool we want to use is the cross of Calvary. The cross I speak of is not just any cross, but instead it is the cross of Calvary, the cross that Jesus was crucified on, the cross that's described in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 31 and 32, where the Bible tells us after they mocked him, they led him away to crucify him. They led him away to crucify him, church. They found Simon and compelled him to carry, but it was not Simon's cross, but yet it was the cross of Jesus. That same cross that's described in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, speaking of being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross, if you will. The cross of Christ should stir each and every one who calls themselves a Christian to keep the name of Jesus ready and available to bring to the ears of others, especially to those who know him not in the pardoning of their sins. The cross is the most motivational tool a Christian has in bringing a soul to Christ. Tell a lost soul how that in John chapter 19, the verses 17 and 18, how it describes Jesus bearing his cross, went to Golgotha where he was crucified. When and if one cares about Christ, he should also care about the cross and being willing to share the wonderful story with others. So when was the last time you mentioned the cross to someone? When was the last time you mentioned the cross to someone? I asked the question this morning. I wonder if someone had mentioned the cross to that young man out in Colorado. I wonder if someone had told him that you're going to have to stand before a heavenly judge one day. You're going to have to stand before Jesus the Christ. Not only is the cross a tool to help us bring souls to Jesus, we must learn how to use the cross of Jesus. We must learn to be able to tell others what goodness came from the cross of Christ. Not only do we have the cross, but we also have our calling. Our calling, we are the called out. We have been called to the grace of Jesus Christ. We have been called to the grace of Jesus Christ, according to Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6. But like those folks that Paul was speaking to, far too many today have removed themselves from Jesus. How can we call ourselves true Christians and yet not be practicing Christians? You know, many folk like to call themselves Christians, but they're not practicing Christians. What do you mean, preacher, not practicing Christian? They're not serving actively in the church. They're not being good members, if you will. They're not learning of Hebrews 10 and 25, where they ought to come together and serve God each and every Sunday. But there are folk who say, I'm a good Christian. There are folk who say, I'm a good Christian and I obey all, I believe in all the scriptures of the Bible. I believe in all the texts of the Bible. But yet they don't try to do the will of the Lord. We must reach out and try to help others to come to Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. As these people were here being brought from their darkness, so too have we been brought from our darkness, and we must try to bring others from darkness as well. How good it should feel to a Christian to be called from darkness into the light. The task at hand for us today is to let others know about how they too may receive that same calling. How can we know of the origin of the calling? Well, simply put, go over with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, around verse number 30. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 30, and listen to what the Bible says. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called also he justified. And whom he justified, and he justified them, he also glorified them. When we try to bring souls to Jesus, the Bible gives us the directions. And we need to follow those directions. For one, if one is to believe the word of God, then certainly they are in need of far, if they don't believe the word of God, they are in far greater need of help than you and I can give them. So when you go back to Romans, look at what he did there, what the Lord said there, or what the Bible says there. He says, number one, we were called. Number two, he justified us or absorbed us from guilt. And number three, he glorified us, or in other words, put us in a heavenly state, a heavenly condition, I might say. You need to let somebody know how good God is, church. If you can't let someone know how good God is to you, what does that say about your Christianity? What does that say about you if you can't tell somebody about the goodness of God? Now, I know we all, many of us, we just take for granted. Oh, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to do this in the morning when I get up. I'm going to do that in the morning when I give up. But that's not you that's causing you to get up. When that alarm clock sounds early in the morning for you to get up, who do you think woke up the alarm clock? Who do you think was there to call up on the opening of the daylight? That's God's doing. God is the one who gives us all that we have. You need to let somebody know, church, how good God is. How good God is. And we are not so good ourselves, but instead, it is God that's good to us. Trying to bring a soul to Jesus is not always easy to do. But when you do, heaven rejoices, and so should we. A call to win souls even came by the way of hell. Do you remember the story in Luke chapter 16 where the rich man was in torment? What did he do from hell? What did he do from torment or from hell? He called for help that his family might not come to this place that he was in. Hell is not a pleasant place to spend an eternity. So somebody said, well, just tell me, what is hell like? It is the future home for those who know not Jesus Christ. So you need to let somebody know that it's a place where the fire shall never be quenched, according to Mark chapter 9 and verse number 43. Ask them if this is where they would want to spend their eternity. Eternity means that there is no ending, but only a beginning. It's everlasting and no ending. No ending, but a beginning, I should say. This applies to all of us as well. When you think about it, church, we may wind up there if we're not careful. Tell someone that the Bible presents a plea in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, where the writer writes his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. And that's for us too. Upon all of our lives, we must apply God and his rules and his regulations. We must consider God. We must consider coming to the Lord before it's too late. When we come to die, and one day we are going to come to die, it's too late for change. Because that's what the rich man, as he was in hell, was talking about. Send somebody back to speak to my brothers or my family. Even though we as Christians have been given everything we need to win souls, none of these tools and knowledge is of any good if we don't go out and use them. Someone may ask the question, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? The answer is simple. One day we shall all have to stand before a judgment seat of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. We shall all stand before Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. What the word is telling us is simple. Everyone must stand for himself. Everyone must stand for herself. We are not going to have an account where we have extra credit built up and I can give you some of my credit. I can't. I'll be pleading for my own life, not yours. I plead for yours now, but not for then, not then. We must come to realize that my record can't stand for yours and your record can't stand for me. None of us shall have enough of those extra credits to give to anybody else, whether they be good credits or whether they be bad credits. We are competing in a race. We are running for a crown not a corruptible crown from man, but an incorruptible crown, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, a crown of righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 2 and 8, if we live righteous, a crown of life, according to James 1:12, if we have endured temptation and loved the Lord, a crown of glory that fadeth not away, according to Peter 5 and chapter 4. But in order that we may receive a crown, we must stay faithful. We must be obedient, and we must love the Lord. We must serve the Lord and love the Lord. And that includes being willing to reach out and tell someone else about how wonderful it is to be a child of God, bringing souls to Christ, or winning souls to Christ, if you will, must be an everyday affair. No, we cannot simply just sing very loud when we sing the words to the song, "I'm going to wear a golden crown." We must put our faith into action. Faith without works is dead, and that crown we are seeking may be getting farther and farther away. But I like it when I look at the text and look at verse number 4 there once again. It says, "Therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere, preaching the word." They didn't go anywhere without the word being preached. And we as Christians must not go anywhere without serving the Lord and telling someone about the Lord. I sometimes think about some words I read a few years ago. And I know the words are still around, but I read them a few years ago. And every now and then I see the truth of these words. They said something like this: "If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" Some of us, the judge would simply say, "There's not enough evidence to charge him or her with." If character witnesses were brought forth on your behalf, would their testimony go like this: "I've known the defendant for over 25 years, and they never mentioned Jesus to me. I've never seen the defendant reading a Bible. I've never seen the defendant praying. I've never seen the defendant singing one of those old gospel songs. Oh, yes, every Sunday we hang out together. So as far as I know, he's never been to church either." Now, would that be your character witness? Or on the other hand, would your witness say, "That's all he does, the defendant does. All he does is speak about Jesus. Every time I would visit with him or her, their Bibles were open, and he or she was always praying and trying to get someone to go to church with them. As a matter of fact, I even though I may not be a Christian myself, it's not because the defendant did not talk about Jesus to me. It's simply because I chose not to be a Christian, and that was my choice. When he wasn't talking about Jesus, he was praying about Jesus. The defendant was always singing too about Jesus. He sang songs such as "I'll Fly Away" and "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." But one thing I remember most about the defendant was how that he would always say, even in the face of hurt, rejection, and disappointment, his favorite saying was, "God will make a way." Oh yes, Judge, the defendant was a Christian, and he still is to this day. Everywhere the defendant went, he spoke Jesus to everybody he saw. It was Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the afternoon, and Jesus even at night. It was Jesus he or she would finish off by saying, "God is good." Isn't God good, church? God is good, church. God is wonderful. So these Christians that were back in their early days of the first century, or the first in the book of Acts, "Therefore they scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word." Do you go everywhere talking up the word of Jesus, or do you simply talk about me? You know, we like to talk about me. We like to say, I'm this and I'm that, and I've got this and I've got that, and I can do this and I can do that. But seldom do you hear a conversation about how good the Lord really is unto us. So I ask the question this morning, church, as I hasten on to a close now, as I bring this message on home now, how or when was the last time you spoke to someone about Jesus Christ? And if that was you in the courtroom on trial for being a Christian, would you be convicted or would you be freed for lack of evidence? In other words, can Jesus be seen in you? Or can he not? Will he not be seen in you? So I ask the question this morning, how have you or what have you been doing to try to win souls to Jesus Christ? Have you tried to bring a soul to Jesus Christ? Have you tried your very best to bring a soul to Jesus Christ? Have you tried and asked somebody, do they know Jesus? Have you asked somebody, do they want to know Jesus? Have you asked somebody if they are willing to become a member of the Lord's body, or be in the body of Christ, in other words? Have you asked somebody about, or have you told somebody about Jesus Christ? Or when you or were you like other folk who, when they went abroad, they didn't speak the word of Jesus on their lips? They didn't talk about the word of Jesus, or they didn't preach the word of Jesus. They simply enjoyed themselves. And you know, it's a sad commentary on a Christian when he can't say something about the Lord. No matter what company you're in, you need to talk about the Lord. You need to ask the Lord what it is that I must do, O Heavenly Father, in order to do the right thing, to do your will, and to help to bring some soul to Jesus Christ. I like those folk. I like what it said, because they went everywhere preaching the word. And then when you go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 23, look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 23. It says almost the same thing. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now Jesus has come now, so we need to talk about him. We need to bring some souls to Jesus. How often or when will you get it in your mind to bring some souls to Jesus? And I know what some say. Some like to say, I'm not very good at speaking the Bible. I'm not very good at talking about the Bible, Brother Jackson. Some say, it's okay. Somebody else will do the job for me. I'll let somebody else do that because I don't know what to say. Well, I got news for you. If you say Jesus to some, that may be all that they need. Just a mention of the word Jesus. I read somewhere where a man said that he raised prize cattle, and that if any of his cattle ever escaped out of his pasture land and went on the railroad tracks, that there would be nobody in the community who wouldn't come and either get the cow off the track or tell him about it. But he said, for all of these years, they've never mentioned Jesus to me. All of these years I've lived in this community, no one has ever told me about Jesus. And I remember myself from my own personal experience. People used to try to tell me about Jesus, and I didn't want to hear it. I know from my own experience that people do talk about Jesus, and they will try to convert you and bring you to Jesus. But I tell you something. You have to make a decision in your own mind. No matter how much I talk to you, no matter how much Bible I present to you, no matter how much I tell you and I pray with you and I read the Bible with you, if you haven't made up your mind, you're not going to come. You have to make up your own mind. And that's why it's unfortunate sometimes when our parents force their children into coming to Jesus. Because then they don't know why they came. They came because mama told me to come. That's not the right reason to come to Jesus. That's not a good reason. The reason you want to come to the Lord, the reason you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized, is when you go down in the water, you're going down in the water for the remission of your sin. Not because mama wanted you to get wet. But I tell you something, church, as we go through this life, and I'm happy to say this, as we go through this life, we usually learn some things. We usually learn some things. And when you learn to do better, when you learn better, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do better. But some folk learn better, but they don't always do better. Some folk don't understand that when I have become a member of the Lord's body, I have to learn to do better. When I learn and have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have to learn to be able to let somebody else know what I have received, what I have gotten, how good God is to me. And some folk don't think God is good to them because they got a headache. You know, it could be another illness, another sickness. But God is good to you because he left you here to suffer with that headache. He left you here with that headache. You could have been gone on. But we have to learn to understand that the word of God should always be first in our lives, and we should share it with others. We should tell others all about Jesus. And I hate to be in that courtroom that I spoke to you of a moment ago, trying to sit on the jury, being a jury of your peers, and you came before the judge, and the judge said, there is enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian. Then that's good. But if he said there isn't enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian, I'd hate to be sitting in that courtroom, because for all of these years you have said you were a Christian, but now there's no evidence to prove that you are a Christian. So will you go out today? Will you bring somebody to Christ? Now, you can't force them to come to Christ, but you can ask them to come to Christ. When you get yourself, when you get your mind and yourself together, then you must learn to teach others. Everywhere they went, they preached the word. They were scattered abroad, but they went speaking the word of God. They went preaching and teaching the word of God. What have you done lately? Now, I've already told you what you need to do. You come forward, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if somewhere you walked astray, but you've already been that path, but you walked astray, you can come back. You know, a lot of Christian folk, they say to themselves, I've been so bad, God won't forgive me. God will forgive you of anything except one thing. But you've got to ask God to forgive you. You've got to know that in your heart, I want the Lord to forgive me. I've got to ask him for forgiveness, and then I come forward and ask the church to pray for me that I may grow stronger. You know, and there's nothing wrong with asking the church to pray for you. Some folk are ashamed to ask the church to pray for. They are asking in secret, will you pray for me? On their way out the back door, pray for me. But they won't come forward and ask the entire church to pray for them. Now, I stopped by and I talked with somebody before I came to church this morning. And by the way, Sister Martin has asked the church to continue to pray for her. I stopped by to see Sister Martin this morning on my way to church. And just as I was talking to her, a thought popped into my mind. What if everybody asked somebody to pray for them? What if everybody went to somebody and said, I'm going to pray for you? What if everybody got together and said, the Lord that we serve is a good God. The Lord that we serve is a righteous God. The Lord that we serve is a just God. What if? Wouldn't it make the world a better place? I truly believe that it would. I truly believe that we can bring others to Christ if we do the right thing ourselves. So ask yourself the question this morning. Would you be convicted if you went to court of being a Christian? And then ask yourself the second question. Have I tried to bring somebody to Jesus or somebody to Jesus the Christ lately? And if not, will you go on and try to bring someone? Try it and see how well you do. And don't be discouraged if you can't get the first person you talk to. Don't let that be the only person you talk to. Let that just be that first person. You know, in our first everything, we're not always successful. But just ask the Lord to continue to bless you and keep you. And just ask the Lord to give you the strength to go on as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.